Monday, snow day.
Do you agree with me that Ryan Burrow's voice is even more sultry and sexy today than normal?
Yeah, but I'm hearing you getting that too now.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I don't have anything in my... Look, nothing in my throat.
But what about up your sleeve?
Nothing up my sleeve. Presto. Today, I have to announce, I hope people already know this. Normally, here on the stream, we go until 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And then it's we go into shutdown mode. But not today. Adam Hoge will have a special one-hour show after our show. He's in Atlanta. He'll be talking about the Super Bowl. And then Eric Rung's Polka Party follows that. That's a new show. I don't think we usually have Eric Rung's Polka Party on this station.
I would enjoy it. He's very intense. I would like
to... He loves polka music. It's all he talks about.
Wow.
All he talks about.
I'm pretty excited for that.
Adam Hoge... Here's a press release, Wendy. Let me read it out loud. Adam Hoge is live from Radio Row in Atlanta for Sports Central for the Super Bowl. He will be there all week, and you can listen to him right here after our bonus hour at WGNRadio.com. He will also have coverage from opening night all evening long. Adam has a ton of behind-the-scenes content all week.
So he's going to be on the stream after Eric Rung's polka show as
no,
well?
No, before. Well, they'll do a rebroadcast of it. They'll rerun it. They'll cut out all the dirty parts.
Well, it says for the kids. Will have opening night coverage all evening long. When's the Super Bowl?
It is the Super Bowl. Maybe he is. Maybe he'll come in and
No, I said when is the Super Bowl?
Sunday.
Already.
It's this upcoming Sunday, yeah. You put 2 weeks, you play your championship games, your AFC and NFC championship games, and then you got to wait 2 weeks, because 1 week is not enough. You got to have 2 weeks in between.
To get the hype going?
Yeah.
Do you think that the Gillette company will be playing their commercial?
Well, I wonder. I'd be fine with it. I like the commercial. I think it sends a good message out, but other people get angry about it.
I don't understand. You know... All right, first of all, nothing makes me that angry when it's a commercial. Even if it was something that, like, that's stupid, I'd move along. I wouldn't waste time over it. I would just say, I'm mad at it. I'm not buying that product.
I'm trying to think if there's ever been a commercial
that outraged
that's
you.
Made me angry. There's sometimes where I go, well, this is stupid. I'll say that about
a
commercial. A lot, right? That happens all the time. But I've never been angry.
Okay, you just sounded so much like Mr. Rogers.
I've never been angry at a commercial, Wendy.
You know the difference, though?
Mm-mm.
Social media. Because people are angry, so that now they take to their social media accounts and start it up.
Right.
I am not... I had words of wisdom coming to me from my youngest son, Dylan.
What did he say to
me? You know, when someone starts a fight with you, you don't have to fight back. You can just either walk away or not comment.
Yeah.
It's not a fight if you don't partake.
And one person can't have a fight?
No, if somebody starts something, if I walk away or don't post something on social media, boom, it's over with. There's no fight.
Oh, I guess you're right.
That's Dylan.
Yeah.
He says, you know, just let people say if you don't agree with them, if you want to fight, go ahead, but you don't have to fight. You can walk away. You can't fight with only one person. And I'm like, you're a genius.
That's a lot of wisdom.
It is.
Huh.
Because I cannot, I am not on Facebook that much anymore. I check our show page.
Yeah.
And I try to answer, listeners have sometimes sent messages, private messages where they need to know something.
Sure.
And I try to stay on top of that. But now I just creep on other people's accounts. I just see what's going on.
Yeah.
And after probably my third irritating post from someone, I'm finished.
Interesting.
I watch.
Because you want to stay out of any kind of...
I don't have time for that.
Right. I get it.
I need more hours in the day. I don't want to waste any time of it just getting irritated to the point where I'm typing in all caps.
Right. Do you ever do this? And this isn't just a Facebook thing. This is an entire internet thing. Like, just go to YouTube and look up a video of anything. Like, let's say it's just a guy climbing a tree. So the first one will be, hey, Paul, good job climbing a tree. And then the other one will go, Paul looks like he's put on some weight. And then the next one will be, maybe you put on some weight. And somebody else will go, some people can't help it if they put on weight. Like, no matter what anybody says about anything, it creates some kind of friction now.
Because
it's not even about the original thing anymore. It's just people
fighting
about everything.
And that's like when we were growing up, back when we were younger, we were more polite. If somebody wore a goofy outfit, you wouldn't like look at them and say, oh my God, bell bottoms are not the good look for you. But now if you posted a picture of you wearing bell bottoms on Facebook, you know how many people would say stuff? Like almost everyone.
Thousands. Yep.
I just don't understand it.
Right.
Is that what people want to do? Waste their...
Everybody's
honestly
angry now. You have to be angry about stuff. Why would a commercial... All right, so getting back to the original from Home Plate, Gillette puts out this commercial about how men can change or should be able to change, and it totally divides people. Some people are like, yeah, great message. We need to change. We need to adapt. Other people are like, no, then you're not a man if you're giving in to stuff.
Oh, my God. Then those are the people that this is geared toward.
You, right. That should be the target. Ah, so frustrating. Which leads us...
Yes, you...
To the best case of road rage in the history of road rage. Did road rage always exist?
Like, yeah, it was a middle finger. That was it.
That used to be it. You would...
Or sometimes you'd bite your hand or something, but you mainly would flip someone off.
By the way, when we talked about the different fingers
the
other day, we were listing all the different ways you could give somebody the finger. There's the traditional finger. There's the one where you push down on the inside of your elbow with your other hand. So if you're flipping somebody off with your left hand, you take your right hand, you make a fist, and you push the middle part of your inside elbow, and then you make your finger go up. There's that way. There's the one where it looks like you're trying to catch
a firefly.
There's that one. There's the one where you're cranking. This is called the Jack in the Box flip off, where you're cranking.
Does it really have a name?
Flip off. That one takes a long time. You got to have time to do that one.
There's the balloon blowing one. Did we talk about that?
There's balloon blow. No, we left that one out. We left that one out.
You blow on your thumb and then your middle finger slowly raises.
There's can you read between the lines, where you hold up three fingers. You say, can you read between the lines? And then you put one down, and you know which one I left off, which is a cousin to read between the lines.
I can't wait.
Let's split a peace sign. I'll take my half. Here's your half.
Never heard that.
That's a crowd.
Is that what they teach you in Catholic schools?
Because I never heard that. Second grade, the nuns taught us that one.
If you notice in movies a lot, there are people who are very stiff in their flipping off.
That's awful.
It just is. It's supposed to be a relaxed hand.
Put something into it.
Yeah.
I know.
It's just, I don't.
I know.
I don't. I just, I'm so sick of people right now. I'm ready to flip everyone off.
There's also the magician one where you wave your hand up and down and then it just magically appears. That's like if you were going to get flipped off by Doug Henning, the late Doug Henning. That's what he would have done because he was a magician.
He should have a scarf or something at least. Or a bandana.
Ooh, it's magic. And then you just get flipped off by the late Doug Henning. All right, so getting back to this road rage case, I asked you to see, I said, you got to watch the video of this because it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
I have seen road rage and I have seen road rage, but I've never seen anything like this ever. And that includes the road rage incident from last week where a guy got out of his car with a knife and used the under part of the knife, the barrel part of the knife, to break the side window.
Would that go through the side window? I'm sorry.
It depends on what pane of glass you're using in your car.
Newer cars, there's no way that would go through.
I wonder.
I doubt it.
You don't think
very,
it would?
Very much.
You don't think it would?
No.
A friend of mine had a guy at an intersection get out of a car and pound on his window and break it. Just pounded on it with his fist and he broke it.
Was it a newer car? I bet it wasn't.
This was about 9 years ago.
I know my sister actually got me this special contraption that would break a window in case my car ever goes
underwater.
Yeah, it's like it's a special safety glass breaker, and it would also cut. It doubles as like a seatbelt cutter in case your seatbelt is locked. Although it's so far in that
center. Do you drive to Key West and back sometimes?
Sometimes.
Wow.
It's so far underneath all the crap in my center console that I would drown by the time I got to it.
I know. But just to have it is nice.
But
it's a great gift.
It is.
Yeah.
Although she gives me more anxiety thinking about maybe having to use it.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. I thought you needed something
to break a window.
Yeah, like a knife isn't going to do it because I always have a knife.
Well, he...
I don't.
Yikes. He used it in such a way. I mean, he put a lot of... keep in mind, this is last week's worst road rage. The one we're about to tell you about is far worse. It's far worse. But he used... Is it called the barrel of the knife, the underside part of the knife, the handle?
The
lowest part of the knife?
Barrel of a gun, handle of a knife.
Handle of a knife. These are great crime novel titles. Don't waste them.
Or songs.
Yeah, they are. They are. If Ry Cooter is listening, we've come up with several song titles for you.
Good one.
Thank you. All right, so he took that part of the knife and then punched, but so that his hand would not touch the glass. It would just be the lowest part of the handle. And that did shatter the glass.
But didn't go through. It just spider webbed.
Right. Right. All right, so that was last week. That was last week's champion. This week's champion, here's the story from ABC News. Jazz, we'll put the video up on our Facebook page if that's okay, because you got to see this
makes
to believe
it. Makes you crazy.
This.
Gives you agita.
A 65-year-old man...
Who's in great shape, I might add.
As a side note, he really is.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, he is. Kudos to him. A 65-year-old man says that he thought he was going to be roadkill after a rush hour road rage incident left him clinging to the hood of a man's SUV as it hit speeds of up to 70 miles per hour on the Massachusetts Turnpike. I have been on this stretch of roadway. I've never seen anybody clinging to a windshield on this roadway, but I have seen it. I thought he was going to run me over, said Richard Kamrowski. He said of the wild ride that was caught on cell phone video by stunned motorists just outside of Boston.
And by the way, how dangerous of somebody, I'm glad you caught the video of it, but if you're driving and you're shooting video,
right,
that adds to more problems.
On the report I saw last night, it was not, the video that is most being seen of this, it's not the driver who's capturing it,
passenger.
It's whoever's in the passenger
All
seat.
Right, good.
Right. And I imagine it was they were saying that this was wicked dangerous. I've spent enough time in the Boston area that somebody, if not everybody, described this incident as wicked dangerous. And it is. It is wicked dangerous.
Did this begin with somebody trying to park the car?
Yes. Sadly, it did. He's hanging on like a lobster, that guy. He's wicked dangerous.
His name's Larry, isn't
Larry
it?
Larry the lobster. The bizarre incident occurred at 4:30 p.m. on Friday, a time when you would think people would be relaxed, because they're going home from work.
Yeah, but you want to get home and start your weekend.
I guess
a lot
so.
Of tensions.
No, I guess. When Kamrowski, age 65, and in great shape, as Wendy pointed out, and Mark Fitzgerald got into a sideswipe accident while traveling in the westbound lanes of the Turnpike, also known as Interstate 90. I just call it I-90 when I'm out there, Wendy. I don't have time for Interstate 90. I just say, let's get on I-90. According to the Massachusetts State Police, following the fender bender, Kamrowski stopped in the left-hand lane and got out of his Ford F-150 pickup truck to exchange insurance information with Fitzgerald, this according to police. Fitzgerald, age 37, and also in good shape, but you would expect at 37, 65, you go, maybe he's going to let himself go. He did not. Good for him.
I love your commentary.
Fitzgerald, 37.
He should be a news broadcaster, anchor.
They're talking to me about it.
I like the way you roll.
Yeah, MSNBC left a couple messages over the weekend. Fitzgerald, 37, of Ashland, Massachusetts, stayed inside of his white 2016 Infiniti XQS70 SUV. That's what it is. Everyone's got an SUV now.
Not the pickup truck guy.
No, I guess. That encounter became adversarial, said police. At some point, Kamrowski of Farmington, Mass., great town, just so you know. Have you ever been there?
No.
You would love it. It's quaint.
I like quaint.
It is quaint. Reached into Fitzgerald's vehicle and then snatched a water bottle and stood in front of Fitzgerald's SUV. Why the need to steal the water bottle?
He was just trying to say, you know, hey, I want your information. Get out of the car. I'm going to take what belongs
to you. I'm wicked parched. I am wicked parched. That's what he said. Fitzgerald... This is when you just go, wait, what happened? But this happened. Fitzgerald then began, after his water bottle is swiped by Kamrowski in great shape, and always hydrating. That's the key, Wendy. If you want to stay in great shape, even in a moment of panic, stay hydrated. Fitzgerald then began driving toward Kamrowski, who subsequently jumped onto the hood of Fitzgerald's vehicle. This according to a statement from police.
Boy, so far.
I wouldn't have thought of that. Would you?
God, no. You're putting yourself right in the line of danger.
I say get out of the way, don't jump into the way.
Right. And it's not his, like, I don't feel he has the right to reach into the car and
take
grab
his water bottle.
Or anything.
That's a man's possession.
Technically, he doesn't have a right to reach into the car.
No, he does not. I'm with you. I'm with you all the way.
And jumping on the car.
It only.
You know when you see it.
It exasperates it.
Exacerbates.
It does.
It's like, you know, sometimes when you get a grasshopper or a praying mantis on your windshield.
Right.
You drive until it falls off.
But the difference is.
You want it off your car,
though. You do want it off your car, but that grasshopper or praying mantis isn't going to be in the shape of Kamrowski. This guy, he's taking his time to chisel himself, so good for him. With Kamrowski clinging to the hood, Fitzgerald headed west on the turnpike, accelerating and stopping in an apparent herky-jerky attempt.
That's the best way to get a guy off your hood.
Herky-jerky.
Yeah.
Dear me, the sky is falling. That's one of the characters from Henny Penny, isn't it?
I think so.
Herky-jerky?
Turkey-lurky.
Turkey-lurky. stopping in an apparent herky-jerky attempt to shake Kamrowski, police said, Fitzgerald's Infiniti hit speeds of 70 miles per hour.
That's where the problem is.
Oh, boy. That's really fast to be hanging onto a windshield.
It's bad enough that the in-shape guy
Kamrowski
stuck his hand into the car.
Right.
Then jumped on the hood.
Wicked rude.
That was.
Wicked rude.
And to jump on the car, I see the other guy trying to get him off your car.
Right.
And I do see the herky-jerky move. That'd be the way to say, hey, buddy, come on, I'm not messing around.
Right.
But you don't drive 70 miles an hour with someone on the hood of your car.
Never.
And they said it went for how many miles? Like 3 miles?
3 miles.
See that? Well, how would this guy feel if Kierkowski fell off and he killed him? He would have died.
Right. Then you got a problem on your hands. Now, they don't say this in the story, but I saw this in the video. Kamrowski is making cell phone calls. Probably call. I don't think calls. He can't call too many people and go,
Hey, honey, guess where I am?
You'll never guess.
I'm assuming he dialed 911.
That would be my first call.
No, you would call people you hate and say, I'm going to die soon. I just wanted to tell you you're the devil.
Is Eric Ferguson there, please? I will hold.
You will hold, or you'll come right off the car.
Yes, tell him to hurry up because I'm about to fly off.
Say hi to Violetta.
Yeah, please say hello to Violetta Patrimetic for me. Thank you. I got to go. I'm going way too fast.
You're cracking yourself up a lot today, aren't you?
I just like the visuals.
Yeah.
So no, but they don't. Wouldn't you mention that in the story if the guy was making cell phone calls on the windshield?
I didn't see him making.
You can see in the video he's on a cell phone. And you can't make out what he's saying, but it's just amazing that he had the wherewithal to make a cell phone call. Well, it just shows cell phones are part of our body now. We don't even think, oh, that'll make it even more dangerous.
That's
guy's
true.
Like, I got to play Candy Crush. This might be the end for me.
You need two hands to play that.
Yes.
That's not what he was doing.
Yes. All right, let's take a break. Ryan will be in. He'll get you the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Do we want to do a little bet as to whether or not schools will be closed on Wednesday? Because I'm saying they will be.
Oh, I think it'll be a case by case, don't you?
How do you send kids out to their bus stops when it's 30 below wind chill?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I thought mine was the only high schooler who doesn't wear gloves or sometimes winter coats. When I'm dropping them off at school, I see like kids in shorts. I mean, I did it.
I'm sure we all did it.
My son was going out the other day, and I was complaining to my husband, saying, you know, he doesn't have a hat, he doesn't have gloves. And then I stopped for a minute, and I thought about how stupid I was when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I walked during the middle of a blizzard on New Year's Eve, I walked from one side of Riverside to the other in snow boots with no hat because I had just curled my hair.
Oh.
And I had my high heels in a jewel bag because I wanted to put them on when I got to the party.
Yeah, in Arlington, we were talking off air, but I was in Arlington Heights watching my friend, and I'm watching all of these young women, 20s or something, in their dresses and their high heels,
uh-huh.
and it's snowing outside and, like, you know, 4 degrees or whatever. I'm like, come on, what are you doing?
Wow.
What are you doing?
But you still can't send kids out when the high is. What's the high going to be on Wednesday?
15 below for the
That's
high.
Just
right
the high.
That's
so
the high.
So add wind chills to that in 30
45, 50 below, they said.
Good.
It feel
I was talking with David Miranda. He said that the lowest recorded is minus 28. We're going to be at like minus 22, is what they think. Air temperature.
Yeah. So we're not even breaking a record?
Pretty close. I think
I don't
first
want
time
pretty
since
close.
The 80s. You, if we're in this, yes. Let's in it. Let's be in it to win it, right?
Don't you agree?
I'm with you. Yeah.
Just want to have the shirts printed out. I survived.
Yeah.
I remember when I did stand-up, I worked with Emo Phillips, and we did a show once where it was 15 degrees below, and his opening joke was, "It's so cold outside, I had to get a case of gonorrhea just for the burning sensation."
Be ready for some pretty cool science experiments, though. I saw Ed Curran with his super soaker in the sub-zero temperatures.
Was it freezing?
Yeah, so it was like he was like blasting snow, essentially.
So when as soon as he presses the button and the water comes out, it freezes immediately?
Now, I would assume, I didn't have it with the audio up, but I would assume he would have to put hot water in there because it's probably going to freeze up pretty big in the super
soaker. Right.
But yeah.
Like snow, though, not like just a stream of ice.
No,
it was like
bursting snow.
Oh,
yeah,
that's excellent.
This was last weekend, so I can only imagine what it'll be like in minus 15.
Oh, that's cold. That's so cold.
I'm thinking radio gags coming up here. I think you guys should do it.
We're
going to the roof.
What's the equivalent of, you know, in the summer heat where they fry an egg on the sidewalk? What could we do here?
Popsicles?
Yeah. So we would pour juice onto a sidewalk and see if it becomes a popsicle. I'll hold a stick and you just pour juice on my hand.
Okay.
And see if it becomes.
They got those little rubber plastic things, right?
Yeah.
Some
Tupperware.
There and,
that'll
put a stick in there.
It's cute that you two little boys know about your little Tupperware containers. Mine, I believe, had Mickey Mouse ears on it.
Interesting.
When we were
younger. Interesting. Yeah.
They were never as good as a real full-blown popsicle, though. I mean, my mom would pour grape juice in there, and I love grape juice, but it just wasn't
not
like
the
a
same.
Popsicle.
It's not
sweet enough.
Mm-mm. I'm with you. Mm-mm. Did you see the story? Now, I'm trying to find the version of it I saw last night, and I'll explain why in a little bit. There was a story that had the potential to be just an absolute disaster about a little boy that was missing for more than 2 days. This was in North Carolina. They were afraid that he'd either been kidnapped or that he fell in some sort of a hole in the ground. They sent all kinds of search parties out. They were ready to give up. It's so sad. And they found him over the weekend. He's fine. They're running tests on him. He just kind of wandered away. He was playing in the backyard of a house, and he just kind of wandered away. He says that while he was gone, they go, "How did you survive horrible weather, real rainy, awful, awful weather?" And they said, "How did you survive?" And he said that he spent his time with a bear, that a bear found him, and a bear took care of him the whole time he was gone. So
I don't believe him.
I don't believe him either. But now I'm trying to find the version of the story I read last night, because there have been two other incidents where kids have been missing for a while, and they've both told similar stories that a bear found them and a bear took care of them while they were away.
Magical bear.
It's
was
gotta
the bear
be
named Yogi?
Might have been.
It kids found name. Picnic baskets missing.
Right.
Yes.
Listen,
right.
We all have imaginary friends. Some of us could have that friend be an imaginary bear.
Right. If it was my kid, I'd say whatever got you through this, a bear, an imaginary bear, I'm fine. You're home. You're safe. Everybody, it ended happy. But it's so weird that in all three of these cases, and they're spread out over like 100 years. Like the first time this story happened, it was a girl in the 1800s who said, "I know I was gone for a long
time. Really?
But a bear took care of me." Yeah, it's been like this long, long, long span of time. The other one was like a decade or so ago. Another kid got lost and said the same thing. And now this kid insists that a bear found him, protected him, kept him warm for the 2 days he was missing.
And that child's name was Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky.
Quarterback of the Bears.
Right, of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, that's amazing.
A three-year-old boy who went missing in the woods for 2 days says that he was protected by a bear. This according to ABC News. Casey Hathaway spent 2 nights alone in freezing conditions after disappearing from his grandmother's garden in Ernal, North Carolina. He was found tangled
in... Wait, if it was freezing, why was he in the garden?
I don't think it was freezing in the daytime when he was playing in the garden.
Oh.
But at night, you know how temperature swings happen. We're experiencing one now. He was found tangled in some thorny bushes last Thursday evening. He was wet and cold, but he was safe after he went missing. The boy told his family he had been looked after by a friendly bear while he was lost in the woods.
All right. your daughter tells you that, or your son, do you laugh?
I find the bear and thank him.
Invite him in for honey?
Come on in, friendly bear.
Find the bear and
gotta put
him.
Pants on. Yeah. We have rules in this house.
Did the boy maybe get into some mushrooms?
No, it doesn't say that, right? That's a great question. It does not say that. I wonder if when you're panicked, so this is a 3-year-old boy, right? Mm-hmm. When you're panicked, if something doesn't kick in, some defense mechanism to keep you safe. And maybe that defense mechanism includes seeing an imaginary friendly bear.
That's possible.
Don't you think? That's
possible.
A possibility?
Yeah.
He said that he had been looked after by a friendly bear while he was lost in the woods. Craven County Sheriff Chip Hughes said the boy did say that he had a friend in the woods and that that bear was with him.
Where's the bear now? I would like to interview the bear.
It doesn't say. They've not.
Show me the bear.
I want to see the bear. Bring the bear to me. Casey's aunt, Brenna Hathaway, posted on Facebook saying he said that he hung out with a bear for 2 days. But what emoji do you follow that up with?
I don't know. Probably the shock one.
Right. God sent him a friend to keep him safe. God is a good God, and miracles do happen, she said. Mr. Hughes, that's his dad, right? Not the name of the bear? Because that sounds like an imaginary bear's name, too. My imaginary bear friend, Mr. Hughes, will take care of me. Mr. Hughes said that the 3-year-old had been playing with 2 other children in the back garden, but did not return inside with them. That's where the problem started. The search for the boy involved helicopters, drones, divers, and hundreds of volunteers. They showed this incredible effort. And
they couldn't find him,
They looked everywhere for him. And it's an area that has all kinds of small holes, potholes in the ground by the forests. So they were afraid that he had fallen into one of those.
Oh.
And I don't know about you. I'm watching True Detective on HBO right now. And the storyline in there involves 2 kids that are lost in a similar terrain situation where they're combing this forest area to find these kids. It's like the exact same storyline, but without the imaginary bear.
Well, you don't know. Have you scouted?
Right, I don't know how it ends.
There you go.
I don't know how it ends. The search for the boy involved the helicopters, drones. It had been postponed at one stage after a heavy wind and rain. That's when I saw this report last night. They didn't say that they were about to give up, but you could see it's like we looked everywhere that made sense, and he wasn't there. Mr. Hughes said that his boy is a survivor. Rescuers waded through waist-high water to reach the boy, who suffered only a few scrapes. He told rescuers that he wanted some water with his mother. That's what I would want, too, after an encounter like that.
I would want something a little more substantial.
Why didn't the imaginary bear give him any honey?
I don't know.
He was an imaginary selfish bear.
Well, we don't know that he didn't give him honey. He was gone for how many days?
For 2 days. A little
over
2 days.
All right, well, maybe he did give him honey.
Maybe.
Maybe he gave him a raw fish? You know how they grab them?
No, it's possible. From a stream, a nearby stream.
The salmon that are spawning, a bear grabs it.
That's right.
Bear's probably not hibernating in North Carolina this time of year, are they?
Question.
I don't know.
You may have solved the caper.
I don't know. I hope I have a bear, imaginary or otherwise, look after me.
Yeah.
That bear would kill you.
I think we should all have a bear.
He would maul me.
That bear would say, after all the stuff you've said about us and other animals.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Here's what the bear would say, the imaginary bear. Mm-hmm. Enough with the pop culture references. Your lunch. You're about to be my lunch.
Yeah.
I would have an impression off with him of different cartoon bears.
That might save you.
Nah, he would win.
Right.
Well, I guarantee you would lose.
This is a winning entry.
You would lose.
He takes a bite out of my head. Yeah. All right, you win. I give imaginary bear.
Ben. Gentle Ben.
Gentle Ben.
As said by Clint Howard.
I'm surprised that bear wasn't afraid of Clint Howard.
That bear was humongous.
Gentle Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know the show, Ryan?
I'm not familiar with
it. In the Everglades.
Ben? Yeah.
It was set in the Everglades, and little Clint Howard was scarier than the bear.
Yes.
And he befriended.
They became friends.
It was kind of like Lassie, but with a bear, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Sounds like something that would happen in Russia a lot. Right? Don't they have the Russian?
Yeah, the circus bears?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like play basketball against him and stuff?
This bear didn't have a little skirt on.
But think about that pitch. That, like, they go, you know what a big hit Lassie is? Timmy finds Lassie, they become friends. Kids could do that with a bear. A kid could find a bear and they
could
become friends very easily.
I am telling you, I was very impressionable. What am I saying? I was. I still am to this day. Watching it, I wanted a pet bear.
Yeah.
I truly did. My mom got me a rabbit instead. It didn't. It wasn't quite the same.
It gave you the impression if you watched
this. Did you eat her?
Not like, no, not like I would eat the rabbit.
No, that was him pondering.
It's a poor substitute if you have your heart set on a bear.
Exactly. Most kids wanted a pony. I wanted a bear. What's wrong?
A bear would be pretty cool.
Hey, whatever happened to the turtles?
Oh, we had two tortoises. They were not turtles.
Okay,
tortoises. Ryan.
And we found a place in Tinley Park that is a reptile store.
Okay.
That we donated them to. I think we were under the impression on the way there that we were going to get some money for it.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It went to a good
home. A lot of money?
No, but I mean...
To cover your expenses.
Russian tortoises are up to $100 and $150 each.
Are they really?
Yeah, and then...
What differentiates the Russian tortoise from your standard...
The language.
Is that what it is? They speak Russian? They understand
Much
Russian.
Better hackers.
It's just a... turtles mainly live in water. A tortoise is more land dwelling.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you don't. And it's just that was the breed it was that we got from someone who wanted to get rid of them.
And then the thing was is that these things live till like they're 80, right? And
exactly.
You're not committed to
and
for
if
the
I,
next 80 years.
And Dylan really was 100% committed. But I will tell you, parents, if you're listening out there and your kid wants a tortoise, just get one. Two of them were too much. They would bang together. They not in that way. They're shells.
I know.
And then they bang against the glass because they try to burrow. And it was
Ryan
burrows. No,
sometimes.
And I felt really bad, but they were adopted by this reptile shop, and they were playing with a bunch of other tortoises, and hopefully somebody purchased them and gave them a better home.
Well, you did what you could do.
Yeah,
you did. You know.
That's what happened.
Told them
to
stay off of drugs, and you let them on their way.
Yep. How long do they live?
They could live like 80 or 100 years.
Wow.
That's a big commitment.
Yeah.
If you have a bear, it's not going to live that long.
How long do bears live, Wendy?
30 to 50.
30 to 50 standard on a bear right now?
It depends on the...
If you turn yours in, I bet you'd get money for it.
You got the black bear, the Kodiak, the polar.
Yeah.
I want the koala.
Panda.
Koala's cute. Panda. Oh, that's what I wanted.
You should have got a panda bear. That would have been fun.
I had a stuffed one named Nunzio.
Oh. Oh, we have to go because Adam Holt's show is coming on.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then Eric Rung's polka party. It's a full day's worth of entertainment.
Ryan Burrow, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's an amazing story about that little kid. I'm sure we'll find out the truth.
I hope so.
And maybe that was the truth.
Maybe. A bear found him. All right, more after this.
No, we got to say this.
Oh, we have to say, I don't have it. You have it.
Adam Hoge is live from Radio Row in Atlanta for Sports Central for the Super Bowl. He's going to be there all week. You can listen to him right here after our bonus hour at WGNRadio.com. Funny how you found it, huh?
I found it. He'll be there all week, Wendy, and you can listen to him right here after our bonus hour on WGNRadio.com. He'll also have coverage from opening night all evening long. Adam has tons of behind-the-scenes content all week. That's what it says on the sheet, so let's believe it, shall we?
He's with a bear.
Yeah.
He really is.
A friendly bear found him.
Uh-huh. All right, that's it for us, but we want you to stay listening here on the stream because Adam Hoge is live in action right now from Radio Row in Atlanta for Sports Central for the Super Bowl.